So yesterday we celebrated 250 years of America's independence. You know, special TV programs, concerts, patriotic songs, and fireworks, right? Fireworks. We sat out for an hour on our patio and watched all the fireworks. I hope those of you who have pets made it through the night, right? But I did because I know I don't want to stay up too late, so I didn't finish all the fireworks, you know, went to bed a little bit early because I preached the next day. But you know, I have no problem sleeping. All I do is take out my hearing aids, right? I sleep like a baby, okay? But why not celebrate, you know, 250 years, and we're so grateful that we live in a country with so many freedoms, especially the freedom to worship as we please. We do need to remember that there are millions of people in various countries around the world that do not have this freedom. We think of Iran, we think of North Korea, and some other places, right? And we do need to keep these people in our prayers, because there are many Christians as well as other people, and they would love to have freedom. They seek freedom, and you know, if we can pray for these people, and some of them try to escape with dire consequences. So there are many countries as well, however, that do have these freedoms. Most of the countries in Europe, you know, Canada, Mexico, other places. Most of you know that I'm a pastor in the Reformed Church in America, one of the sister congregations of our Presbyterian Reformed family of churches, right? And the Reformed Church in America really came from the Netherlands, and they have the freedom now. But years ago, they were under the rule of the Spanish people. They didn't have the freedom to worship like we do. But along comes William the Silent, also known as the William of Orange, right? Or the Prince of Orange. And he freed the Netherlands from being under the bonds of Spain. And so they call, and the people of the Netherlands call him the father of our country, just like we call George Washington the father of our country. The Reformed Church and Presbyterian Church as well, and many families have what they call family crests, right? Or a denominational crest. Now, the Reformed Church that I belong to has a denominational crest as well. And on this crest, which was adapted from the crest of the family of William of Orange, who, by the way, you know, became a member of the Reformed Church in the Netherlands, but he was also assassinated in 1584. And here's just a little side note. He was the first head of state in all the world to be assassinated with a handgun, William of Orange. Okay? But if you've ever wondered where the athletes from the Netherlands, when they go to the Olympics, or else, why they wear orange, now you know. Goes back to the William of Orange. Well, anyway, the crest that the Reformed Church has, this is not the Reformed Church crest. This is one from Genevieve's family, the McLarens, way back when. We happened to see it, I think, when we were in Scotland, and we said, oh, we got to get that. Anyway, and there's two different phrases. One of the phrases is on the bottom, one of the phrases on the top. On the bottom, the phrase is in Dutch, En dracht maakt macht. What does that mean? It means in unity, there is strength, right? Sadly, the Reformed Church in America has not had unity for the last several years, and half of the churches have left the denomination. So we need to pray for Reformed Church, my denomination as well. The top phrase is in Latin, and that phrase is Nisi Dominus Frustra. Nisi Dominus Frustra. Now, when we were back in seminary, the guys back in seminary, no girls then, there is now, but the guys back in seminary would joke that this phrase, Nisi Dominus Frustra, means nothing frustrates God. That's what they joked. It doesn't mean that, of course, right? God gets frustrated. He can get frustrated. God gets angry. What causes most of our anger? When we're frustrated when there's no justice, right? Or when somebody does us wrong. Or somebody does someone that we love wrong. We get frustrated and get angry about that. That's only natural. The Bible says God gets angry as well. Why? Because God looks at the world that he has made. He looks at humanity, and because he gave them freedom. If we didn't have freedom, we'd be automatons. But he's given us freedom. And out of our freedom, we so often hurt one another. Countries hurt other countries. People, so many, are brought to a lot of pain and suffering. I think that frustrates God. So this phrase doesn't mean nothing frustrates God. Nisi Dominus Frustra means without God, everything is frustration. That's what that phrase really means. Without God, everything is in vain. Like Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it in vain. Futile endeavor that leads only to frustration. To diminish God or attempt to frustrate God's purpose is a vain thing and will only result in our own frustration and hurt. This was the message of Paul and Barnabas at Lystra when, after healing the crippled man, the people of the city cried that the apostles were gods. Zeus and Hermes have come down from heaven. But they were so upset by this, Paul and Barnabas ripped their clothes, went out into the crowd, said, no, you must not do that. We're just men like you are. Don't try to worship us. But still, they did. They tried to worship. Finally, some Jewish people from Antioch and Iconium came and convinced the people there that they ought to get rid of Paul. And so they stoned him. So how things quickly turn, right? How things quickly turn for the worse when we worship something other than God. Even the Apostle John on the island of Patmos succumbed to the temptation after seeing the wonderful, awesome vision and revelation that the angel brought him. New heavens, new earth, holy city of God, no more death, no more crying. All things made new. Wonderful. Amazing. Who wouldn't want to just fall down on our knees? But he fell down on his knees in front of the angel. And the angel said, don't do that. Right? I'm just a messenger for God like you and the other apostles. Worship God. What's at the heart of frustrating God? It's that we do things which are not only against God's will, but will also hurt us and hurt others. This is why we have the Ten Commandments. See, that's a don't do that kind of thing too, isn't it? Right? Don't do that. Not kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet what your neighbor has. Don't do that. Because God in his love gave us the Ten Commandments. Who do we say don't do that to? We say don't do that to the people we love, primarily. A parent. Don't do that, you might get burned. Don't do that, you might be hit by a car. They love their kids. Don't do that. So God's word says to us, don't do anything that is going to detract from worshiping God and taking your heart somewhere else. We have many allegiances in our life. We have allegiances to our families, to church, to our country, right? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Oh, for all. Genevieve goes to a quilting group. I know, she knows I was going to say this. Genevieve goes to a quilting group, right? And a while back, one of the women in the quilting group stood up and she said, I think we ought to say the Pledge of Allegiance before every meeting. And, you know, who's going to be unpatriotic and say, no, we don't want to do that. So they do. But when they get to that last phrase, you know, with liberty and justice for all, Genevieve would say, with liberty and justice for some, for some. So where does that take us? Because we know that that's true all throughout our history and the history of any country. Right? Doesn't matter what country. There has never been liberty and justice for all, but for everyone. Right? The slaves working in the cotton fields? Of course not. Right? The Native American tribes that were pushed out of their lands, and the long walks of the Cherokees and the Navajo people, right, just to close on our back, walking hundreds of miles, many die. Internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, right? Japanese Americans. So, like I say, never has been. If we look at the Pledge of Allegiance, I still can say it, but not because I take that phrase as fact, but because I take that phrase as one of the desires, one of the aspirations of our founding fathers, that we will work towards, our country will work towards having justice and liberty for all. So whenever I say it, I say, yes, America, work for that, right? Work for that. Our aspirations in the Pledge of Allegiance are wonderful. And so, because we have this wonderful country and with great aspirations, we need a military. And we need a police force. Right? And many of you, I'm sure, have military people or police men in your family. My Uncle Gare served in World War II, and right after Pearl Harbor, you know, and America was going up different islands towards Japan, he would be one of them that on the beach, and after they put up these poles, climb up on the pole and string communication wires along the beach so that this end could communicate with that end. Right? And while he was doing that, way up there, all alone, pew, 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 from the jungle, shooting at him. Thank God that he came home. My Uncle Harm, a detective on the Kalamazoo police force, he had to arrest a lot of people, but he did so with dignity. How do we know that? How do we know that? He had one repeat offender, okay? He would apprehend this guy and he'd go to jail and he'd get out and do something else again, so, you know. But how do we know that? He treated these people with dignity because at Uncle Harm's funeral, that guy was there. Uncle Gere's one son became a Michigan State undercover agent. His daughter has a son who is now the police chief in Traverse City, Michigan. I'm only saying this to let you know that we all have people that, you know, we can point to and say they're a friend, or used to be a friend, part of our family, you know, that we can look at and say we're grateful for them and for the service that they have provided our country. What does this teach us about today's lessons? The danger, of course, for anything that we really love, well, a family, you know, a country, the danger is that we lift it too high in our estimation. And we want to be thankful, grateful for the freedoms that we have. We love America. We love the aspirations that it has for justice and freedom, but we don't want to lift it too high. That's why there's a phrase that some people say that makes me cringe. Okay, and I know they're trying to be patriotic, but maybe you've heard the phrase too. And they say, I lift up God and country. Same level? That's the emphasis that I'd like to share with you. That much as we love our country, the wonder of it, it doesn't approach God. So, we say, don't do that. Right? But we can, and we should, share with people how much we appreciate the freedoms that we have. We vote for candidates that we believe will do the best things, not only for people, but for our country. Pray for leaders in all branches of government, for military personnel, law enforcement, who often put their lives on the line and even lose their lives doing their duty. So many over the years. Pray for those who live under tyranny in Iran and other countries. You know, I've served for some time on the board of directors of the Words of Hope. I'm the one who puts those devotionals out there on the counter. But they don't just do devotionals. In fact, what they did for years and years and years and years, they have a radio ministry. And that radio ministry, you know, cuts right through the Iron Curtain, or any curtain, and people listen to it. Words of Hope radio ministry and other radio ministries of America and other countries that are free, trying to reach people in the communist countries because they're yearning to be free as well. And I believe that a big part of all these radio ministries into communist countries eventually was one of the reasons that it led to the downfall of these countries and the Iron Curtain was broken down. So we pray for this as well. If you want to pick one up, go ahead. If we run out, I'll go get some more. I can get as many as I need. Love the United States. Serve America with the gifts that God has given you, but only give your greatest allegiance to God. Don't bow down to America. Don't bow down to any king. Don't bow down to a president. Don't bow down to a governor. Don't bow down to any kind of philosophy. Only bow down to God. At the close of our service, we will be singing, "Oh, Beautiful for Spacious Skies." Great, great song. Okay? I especially cherish these wonderful phrases. For patriots' dreams, right? What we hope for. What we keep striving for, right? For patriots' dreams. God shed his grace on thee, America. Oh, how we need it. Just as we need it in our personal lives, America needs God's grace too. Pray for that. And God mend thine every flaw. That's another phrase. Right? Till all success be nobleness and every gain divine, a gift from God. Celebrate the freedoms we have. Yes. Yes. But only worship God. Amen.